And welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu. The rest of the band out and about working on other things, including gastroenterology. We'll talk about that a little later on, probably in July. But in the meantime, we need to talk about something really interesting that's been happening here in El Paso for the longest time, and it's called the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. With me this afternoon, Steve Arella, Steve Schiller, Kathy Brunk, Susan Sobin. Welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Let's talk a little bit about the history of the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute here in El Paso. It grew out of an idea that President Diana Natalicio had as the Center for Lifelong Learning, but since that time has really morphed into something super exciting.
It has. Actually, our earliest beginnings were in 1990. It was a group for continuing education started by retired professors at UTEP. Then about in 2005, they had an opportunity to join a national organization, the Osher Foundation. And through that, they got nationwide recognition as well as an endowment to continue continuing education for seniors 50 and older.
The interesting thing about that starts with that age group, 50 and older. No real requirement other than just the age itself, 50 and older, and no testing. You don't have to cram for any tests or anything like that. Kathy Brunk, you're the new chair of the OLLI Board of Directors, and you've just come back from a marvelous conference.
In San Diego, California. That was really hard. I learned that the OLLI institutes are as diverse as you can imagine. We have some that are close to 5,000, some that are much smaller. We're all growing. We're all trying to meet the needs of the community. There are wonderful ideas for classes. I came back with so many great ideas, and we're going to try to implement some of them in our OLLI.
In OLLI, I'm sure some of our listeners, their ears are peaked. It's like, okay, so what do I get to learn? What do I get to learn? I have two Steves in here, Varela and Schiller. It's a legal law firm. It's all about music and computers and whatnot. So let me first talk to Steve Schiller and ask you about your history in terms of music and what you're bringing to the table to El Paso, because your vita is quite tasty, I think.
Well, thank you. Well, my first history has to do with my involvement with the OLLI program, because I've been taking Spanish and Italian here for 4 or 5 years, and that's how I became familiar with the program in the first place. But my background is as a professional trumpet player, and I played in Boston and New York as a freelance player in the 60s and 70s. And I was a member of several orchestras, the Brooklyn Philharmonic in New York, and I played a lot of Broadway musicals in the 70s. And the main one that I played was Candide, which I played, I don't know, 500 or 600 times.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I was a member of the Cleveland Orchestra for one season, and the National Ballet of Canada for 5 seasons, and Springfield, Massachusetts Orchestra for many seasons also. And I spent 6 months in Mexico playing in La Orquesta Sinfónica del Estado de México in Toluca, which had concerts in Toluca and Mexico City. And I was there for 6 months, and that actually spurred my interest in learning Spanish. I was beginning to get it, and then I left after 6 months. And so one of the reasons I was attracted to this area is that there are so many people to speak Spanish with. So I'm trying to get there. Sue is much more advanced than Sue is in my Spanish class. She's much more advanced than I am, but I'm still trying. I hope to get there to be fluent sometime. But I also I've done quite a bit of teaching at the public school level and several colleges, Cleveland Institute of Music and New England Conservatory and Westfield State College. And so I'm privileged still to be able to play. I play part-time here. I play I'm a regular member of the Las Cruces Symphony, and I play second trumpet. And when they need 4 trumpets in El Paso Symphony, I play 4th trumpet. And if someone takes a vacation week or whatever, then I move up and play 3rd. And I'm kind of relaxed otherwise in my lifestyle now.
That's a great way to go. Steve Varela works here at UTEP in academic technology. IT is your forte. You're into computers and the gizmos and the gadgets and the apps and everything that goes bump and grind in my iPhone.
And hopefully trying to prevent you from throwing it out a window out of frustration and things like that. Yes. Yeah. Actually, my start here at UTEP took place about 13 years ago. I'm faculty with the Department of English, and a couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to join Academic Technologies in an administrative role. During the time that I taught, technology was very integral to how I taught. So students were very much hands-on in terms of using different forms of tech to enhance their learning for engagement purposes or for projects. And so when I moved to Academic Technologies, I'm an associate director with them now. My group, we oversee things like graphic design, software programming, but also a very fun part, which is the emerging technologies that are happening. So things like 3D technologies, gesture-based computing, you name it. Anything that's kind of new coming out, we learn it, we figure it out, and then we try to disseminate it and help train faculty to use it in their classes. My organization as a whole, when it comes to teaching and learning with technology, that's our focus for UTEP. So
there's so much on your plate, and there's so much that you bring to Osher Lifelong that is necessary. As we grow older, there's this propensity for us to get a little technophobe wise.
Sure.
And so anytime they release something new like Windows 8, I have a tendency to freak. It's like, okay, how's this going to affect me?
Sure. Sure. One of the first classes that we had was really trying to alleviate some of the fear, some of the hindrances that any person really, in a lot of ways, has towards technology. The fear of breaking it, the fear of doing something wrong or possibly being taken advantage of or things like that. So one of the things that I tried to get across was, you know, right now technology pervades our life, right, in so many different ways. And, you know, like for my kids, for instance, they've been doing stuff that they teach me how to work with it. And I think some of our students with Ollie were, you know, wanting to communicate more effectively with people like their grandkids or their kids and you know, on a broader scale than simply a phone or otherwise. So, but overcoming that initial, fear, mm-hmm. or hesitance towards it was one of the first things we kind of talked about. And hopefully I did. Hopefully that's been alleviated somewhat and not, you know, hopefully I didn't make it worse.
He made it a lot of fun. It really was. I'm one of his students, and he made it a lot of fun.
Well, there you go. See, one of the things I wanted to ask is the different approach that comes with Ollie that is different from a traditional academic setting. Because you don't have the tests, but you do have the long learning curves, it seems as though everybody works together to bring everybody along.
That's been my impression. It's a very relaxed atmosphere, as much social as academic. Mm-hmm. It's a chance to meet people of our age group who want to continue learning.
Mm-hmm. Do you find people wanting to recruit more people who have a very sedate lifestyle at home and you want to try to bring them out of their shell and bring them to a class or two?
I do that all the time. I find people in restaurants, if they're reading a book, I'm like, have you ever heard of Ollie? Could I give you some information? We want everybody in El Paso to know about Ollie. It's a wonderful program. It's just enriched my life so much. I wanted to learn how to draw, and I could not draw worth a hoot and a hang. And I can draw my grandchildren's portraits now, and they're not embarrassing. I mean, I've really learned a lot. So mm-hmm. I think everything we do at Ollie has just been a blessing. It's so enriching to your life.
Let's talk about the summer schedule that you have. I'm looking at a portion of it right now, and the one thing that strikes me is, number one, 15 students are required as a minimum for each class, which kind of makes sense. So recruitment is always necessary, and the first question would then be, how do I register?
You call the Ollie office. Do you have the number, Sue?
I do. We're on campus. It's 747-6280 or 747-8848.
Okay. and you can register. You can also go to the OLLI at UTEP website and the catalogs online, so you can see what's available for the summer. And then when we get the fall one out, it will be available online too. And you can always call the office and ask to be put on a mailing list to receive a catalog in the mail.
So once they're registered for, let's say, the summer session, what do you have?
What do we have? Classes?
Yeah.
We have wonderful classes. We have watercolor. We have found object sculpture, the process of aging. We have some exercise with dancing, tai chi. We have meditation, yoga. We have a class that everyone really loves, the Fiddler Jubilee with Rabbi Bach. We have films with a mind of their own. Steve is going to teach Gizmos and Gadgets again.
The Steve.
Wrong Steve.
Right, but they can't see. Ollie Summer Movies, Mystic Experiences. I'm looking forward to that one. Short American Fiction. We're also going to have a Summer Fiction Book Club, which is going to be peer-led, and we're reading and I'm leading the discussion. What are we reading? Once We Were Brothers by Ronald Balsam. I'm sorry about that.
It's okay.
And then Steve Schiller is going to teach the great French composer. So we have a really good mix of classes, not just one stream of classes. So
I love the diversity of the classes. I think one of the things that I like most about this is not only the diversity of this whole thing, but you can go from computers to music and really kind of tie everything together, because once Steve, number one, Steve Schiller, when you start teaching and showing people about the great French composer Sasson and on, when you get into the nuts and bolts of that, people will want to go home and ask grandkids or kids, put this up on the computer so I can check this out. That's where your class, Steve Varela, comes in, where that fear of approaching the computer goes away and you don't have to ask anybody. I like the integration of that all.
And he keeps telling us we can't break it. I'm not too sure, but he keeps telling us we can't break it. So,
unless you throw it out the window.
Well, I've been wont to do that, so I'm not allowed to run with scissors in this building. So, but Steve Schiller, when you talk about the great French composers, there's always going to be a mystique of, okay, I know nothing about music, but I know what I like to hear. So how do we approach this to a person on a pedestrian approach?
Well, when I was first approached about teaching a class at OLLI, I thought, well, great, they'll give me a record player and a pile of records and I'll drop the needle down. And I asked them, I said, so do you have a CD player I could use or whatever? And they just laughed at me and said, come, let me show you what we have. And took me into this media room. I'd never heard of media because I am not technologically advanced at all. And they've got what they call a smart podium, which has a computer built into a podium, which is connected to very nice speakers and a very large screen, much bigger than a big TV screen, and has the ability to go online, which I sometimes need help with. And the fellows from the office are very nice to me and come in and help me. And I can access YouTube. And on YouTube, there are just an astonishing number of performances of all genres, all kinds, and I was very surprised to say, oh, gee, I'm not just going to play a little music and talk about it. I can actually show them close-ups of symphony orchestras playing and the conductors. And actually, several people have said to me, a lot of these videos, if you go to a concert, you see the conductor from behind. And even if you have pretty good seats, you're fairly far away. The videos have multiple cameras that are in the orchestra. If a flute has a solo, the camera's right up on the flute player. You can see the person's fingers. You can see the way they're blowing. And the fact that that's a prominent part at the moment is really obvious. I don't even have to explain it. It's right there. So I've never imagined that there was an opportunity to show people music in this way. So it's been a lot of fun for me to present the class in this manner. I'll talk a little bit about what we're going to see, and then I'll show a movement or sometimes a whole symphony. What was my challenge? This is going to be the third class that I've done. when I went to the first one, I really had no idea what to expect in terms of the students. How knowledgeable are they going to be? How much of an attention span are they going to have? I really had no way of knowing, and I was testing the waters in the first class. Uh-huh. I figured, well, I better not play anything more than about 4 or 5 minutes in length. And also, how much is too much talking? And I don't want to talk too much. On the other hand, I'd hate for people to go away and go, well, he just had us sit there and watch a concert. Anyone could do that. I could do that at home myself.
Right.
So I was balancing out, trying to get feedback from people as to what do you want, exactly what Steve said. What do you want? How much do you want of this or that? And it took really, I just finished my second class this semester, and I felt like when I went into the second class, I had a pretty good idea that there are people of very varying levels, and there are some people in there that actually there's one lady that's corrected me several times. She said, "No, that wasn't right what you said," and then I looked it up, and she was right.
Uh-huh.
So there's her, and then there's people that just kind of want to see what it's all about, and so I've tried to devise a balance in what I do so that the people who are really advanced, and I think all of the Ollie instructors have to do that. You don't want to bore the people who are very advanced, and you don't want to make it inaccessible to the people that are not. Now, Sue and I are in a Spanish class. I don't want to keep embarrassing Sue, but Sue is very, very advanced in several languages and tolerates the rest of us. And I know the teacher has a concern. Don't let Sue get bored here. She has to keep it challenging enough so that Sue won't get bored. At the same time, if she goes too far, Steve's going to head out the door. So I think all of the classes are like that. Yeah. And I've been pleased. I've asked for feedback, and people who have had very little musical background have told me that they feel like the way I'm presenting the material is understandable to them. And the people who are advanced have also said that they felt that it hasn't been boring. Uh-huh. And that's my goal.
We're pretty eager learners in Ollie.
Okay. Well, Kathy, when you went to the conference, I'm sure there's going to be, as in the past, a few workshops or little clashes, if you will, of people talking about the exact same thing, wanting to be able to reach all of the members of each one of the classes without turning off one in order to capture the other.
Right, right. There were workshops on administration. There were workshops on one called Hot Topics, which when I signed up, I thought, this will be great. I'll learn so much. And then I got the email back, and she said, what are you presenting? And I'm kind of like, ugh. So I decided to do Steve's class because it's just been the bomb in my book. And so I did Hot Topics on gizmos and gadgets, and I got a great reception. All the Ollies are doing technology anymore. I mean, that's the way of the world. We need to do that. But I got wonderful ideas on new classes, and I think they got some ideas from me. I mean, we all shared and learned a lot from each other.
If you've just tuned in, we were talking about the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute here on campus at UTEP, and we're talking about the specifically right now about classes that you Yes, you can get involved in once you become involved in Ollie. Let me turn now to Steve Varela. Let me ask you the same question that I'd also pose to Steve Schiller. When you approach gizmos and gadgets, because you're so into it, it's easy to like take off and really get into the nuts and bolts of what's inside that machine. Knowing me, all I want to know is how I can access the internet without blowing up the phone,
right,
and you know, doing something really stupid.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny that the other Steve here, I had the same situation in the sense of how do you gauge how comfortable someone is with technology and how much they know, and how perhaps less comfortable they are with it. And this is the first iteration of the course for me. So part of what happened this semester was I knew I had to give them something, a project, just so they could, because for me it's all about project-based learning. The best way to kind of learn the bits and pieces of things is to have an overall goal in mind. And so we ended up building a video showing them the software, how to get your images, how to store your images, how to transfer your images or video, and then put it together with some basic video editing software. It's a challenge, though, because everyone, again, has different levels of comfort and capability when it comes to something like tech. And so one of the first things I had to do in the class was I caught myself the second class going, I need to change my language. I'm so comfortable in my organization using jargon that everyone just knows automatically what I'm talking about. And yeah. In the first class, I realized I'm saying stuff, and they're looking at me like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I took it for granted. So I adjusted as we went along, and hopefully it went okay.
And see, what's curious about your particular field is that you have one of two platforms one of two. It's either going to be PC or Mac.
Right.
So now you have to adjust to teach one type of software and another type of software.
Right, with different devices too, because some mm-hmm. of them had tablets. Some of them had, of course, were using their mobile phones and things like that. And to be honest, some of the technology was a little older, but I mean, most of the students had better technology than I own. So I was like, I have to learn how to use that because I don't even have that. For the summer, though, we're going to have the class held in my organization, in my department, so that we can provide the technology so we can keep it consistent, because that was a challenge for this iteration.
Speaking about teaching techniques, I'd like to put an alert out to all teachers and potential teachers, because our program is wide open. Our director is there Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 in the afternoon. If anybody would like to join us as a teacher, bring a course proposal by and just stop in and speak with our director, Ian Wilson. We're at Miners Hall, Suite 209.
Sky's the limit when it comes to the curriculum.
Correct.
Because sky's the limit when it comes to learning.
That's right.
Bottom line.
That's right.
You know, I'd like to learn how to be honest with you, I'd like to learn how to speak Japanese. You know, but I want to do it in a way that's not going to be so unusually hard that I've seen academically on this campus, where I have to spend an entire 4 years, 4 years of getting into it. I just want to be conversational with it. Same thing with Mandarin Chinese. I want to be able to do that just simply because in my business, I'm finding out that the major languages are Spanish, Portuguese, and Chinese. And Japanese is really starting to come back into that whole thing too. So that's what I want to do. But that's just me.
Find a good instructor, have him propose a class at Ollie, and we're open to it.
Okay. That works for me. Now, heading into the fall, some of the proposals are already in. What are we looking at in terms of the possibilities?
Let me take it. Right now we have maybe not quite half of our proposals in. I'll read through them. It's Aging Gracefully, which I think we can all use, Breathing and Tai Chi, Don Quixote, Aristotle and Plato, The Gospel According to St. Luke, Looking Back in Time, The Big Bang Theory, The History of the U.S. Labor Movement, GLBT issues, Gustav Mahler and the Deification of Program Music. Is that yours, Steve? That's someone else's. English Language Grammar Myth, The History of Clay Art, Watercolor, Repujado, China, Drawing, Writing Your Memoirs. That's a regular popular class. Mm-hmm. World War I, the 100th anniversary. Photography, Meditation. We'll also have Landscape Oils and Art, Drawing in Charcoal or Oil. Just a realm of classes. We'll have meditation again, pranic healing, Tai Chi, yoga, all these things will be. We have some that are regulars that we have every semester because they're so popular.
Second annual symphony class.
Okay.
I guess
good.
It's not on your list.
Well, maybe I don't have it updated yet. I'm glad you added that.
Excuse me. Our Changing World series will also continue.
Oh,
it's a
yeah.
series of lectures on political events, current events, uh-huh. politics, history, a different speaker every week for 6 weeks.
Very well
that's
attended.
Nice. That's always always a good thing. Once upon a time, when this was Center for Lifelong Learning, I used to teach a jazz appreciation class. And like the two Steves, I ran into that problem of what do I do? How do I approach this? And it turned out to be more of a class for me than it was for them. For the students who became the teachers, all of a sudden – I got hip to a lot of neat things around the country. I didn't realize until we started getting into the nuts and bolts about this class that jazz was alive and well in the movie theaters, between features in Jersey, you know, especially in Camden, New Jersey, and in a couple of boroughs in New York, that Brooklyn had these three theaters. That if you got bored at one, you would go across the street to the other one because that one would have an organ trio. And if you got bored with that, then you'd go across the street and see Billie Holiday. So, you know, I started hearing all these great stories, and I just wish I'd had a tape recorder, because that became more of a class in oral history. And I think that's the beautiful part about what Ollie brings to this whole thing, is that everyone involved has a story to tell, plain and simple.
That's true. And we should add that Dennis Wu is teaching a class this fall for us, too.
Yeah, the Great American Songbook. I hope I don't flop.
You won't. You won't. Our students are really eager to learn, so you'll do great. You won't flop.
You know, it's a passion, actually, of Ray Moad's. One of the lifelong students there.
He's my vice chair.
Yeah, cool. He's actually been a volunteer at the radio station for many a year, and he approached me last year about doing it. When he approached me again, I just, you know what, we're going to do this. Yeah, I'm excited about it, too.
We could let listeners know that the course brochure will be out on August 4th.
Okay.
Our classes will start September 8th. And people can register during the month of August.
Okay. There's going to be, as usual, the question about parking.
That's the best part of our program, or one of the best parts, because parking in the Sun Bowl Garage is included in the enrollment fee. You get a card, just leave it in your car, and you're covered for parking in the Sun Bowl Garage the entire term.
That's a beautiful Okay, great.
No extra cost.
It's a great benefit, because a lot of Ollies have to pay for their parking.
Wow.
So it really is a great benefit to us.
Yeah, and see, Dr. Natalizia has been really supportive about not only this, but your predecessor, the Center for Lifelong Learning, making it work and making it work for the community. Steve Schiller, you had asked before the broadcast about the possibility of recruiting into Las Cruces. So let me put this out there for the listeners in Las Cruces or people who know people in Cruces. Just give us a call. 915-747, the rest of the number?
6280 or 8848.
And would they be able to also enroll online?
No, we don't have online enrollment right now. It's either over the phone or by paper. You can come in the office or you can mail it or call, but we don't have online enrollment right now.
Okay. Well, that's great. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time, but here's the offer that I have for all of you. Mi casa, su casa. So, when there's something new to talk about with Ollie, great. If there's something that you just want to sit down and talk about with Ollie, great. We'd love to have you. I'd love for you guys to become an integral part of El Paso Primetime.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
We've been talking to Susan Sobin, Kathy Brunk, Steve Schiller, Steve Varela, all part of Ollie. I'm part of Ollie in fall. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm going to go to bed.